Welcome everyone to the Immigrants Journey Podcast. I am your host, Carmenetta, and today we have with us the lovely Silvana Bendito, who describes herself as a creative mind trapped in an employee's body. I can really identify with that. She has a full-time job as a purchase planner for an Italian luxury brand and spends most of her free time keeping busy, mainly with short film projects, writing, producing, acting, making props and costumes, still photography, and giving a helping hand wherever it is needed. Also, once a month, she has a radio show in Radio Dublino, and from time to time, she writes articles for Radio Dublina and Italivision News. Silvana, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Carmen.
It's a pleasure to have you here. I always ask my guests a little bit about their background. So where in Italy did you grow up and what was it like?
I come from a very small town in the northwest of Italy, between Genoa and Nice, so very close to France. And it's on the seaside, so I really cannot live far from the sea. I traveled a lot in my life, but everywhere I've been was close to the sea. And it's a small town, 25,000 people, everybody knows each other. So for, as you said, the creative mind, the coolest person, there wasn't enough room for me. So since I was a child, I was dreaming about traveling and being surrounded by people from all over the world. And after having traveled quite a bit, I accidentally ended up in Dublin.
So how did that accident happen?
I really don't know. It was a moment of, it was a moment of desperation. And I think it was exactly 12 years ago today.
Wow.
Yeah. If it wasn't today, it was this week. Because I remember it was a Friday around the end of January. And it was an impromptu decision. I split with a guy that I was dating. And I was working, it was a seasonal job, temporary job for a tour operator. And I was waiting for the next contract. I should have started again in April. I was bored. I was terribly bored. And all my friends were a bit depressed. So I was thinking, no, I have to travel, I have to do something. And I literally took the world map and I started doing that. I've been here, been here. Oh, and I've been in Ireland. And that's it, basically. Long story short, I thought I was going to stay for a couple of months. 12 years later.
I have a friend like that who thought they were going to stay for a year. 20 years later, they're still here. Now they have children in school.
Most of my friends ended up like this because in the end, Ireland hooks you. And you don't know why, because in the end, if you think about it, people say, oh, of course, you are there for the money. No, because I would have much more money if I was staying in my beautiful, lovely small town. I'm honest, I would have a better life. I mean,
standard of living.
Yeah. But there is something magic in this land, something that keeps you here and you don't know what it is. And it's not the weather. Je ne sais quoi.
Is it the people? Is it the opportunities? Is it a creative environment? What do you think it?
I think it's the people mainly, and the fact that you really feel free here to create and to express yourself. I think that you have lots of opportunities to be yourself and don't be afraid of who you are. Thing that in Italy, maybe because I grew up in a small town, or maybe because Italy, I don't know, has that kind of pretentious.
expand on that.
It's a bit difficult to explain because I don't want to be offensive, of course, but very often Italians they have that kind of attitude of, oh, we know we are the best with the fashion, We are the best with cars. We are the best at football. We are, you know,
the best with food.
The best with food, of course. Yeah. So you grow up with that fear of I have to be the best, with that stress kind of I have to be the best, I have to be at that level, otherwise I don't, I'm meaningless, you know, I'm a failure. So well, not everybody grow up in that way, it depends on your environment and so on, but that's the way I grew up. I grew up maybe because I have a brother who is 12 years older than me and he's very competitive. So maybe that doesn't help. And so when you grow up, are we thinking, I have to do something special, I have to be special, I have to be good at school, good at sport and everything. Then you kind of miss your path.
Yeah.
So then you found yourself at 30 something years old, not now, 12 years ago, in Ireland, and you are surrounded by people from all over the world that they're young because it's a very young country.
Especially Dublin, very young.
Yes, it is. And you're surrounded by young people from all over the world who are really struggling to get, to become what they really want. So Brazilians who don't speak a word of English, they come here. They had already 3 degrees in journalism or
business
marketing, supply chain, and they are 24 years old, and they work as cleaners and do the most humble jobs just because they want to learn English, have some fun, of course, but then go back to Brazil and invest in something important there. And for me it was an eye-opening thing, because if I was thinking about many people, let's say in Italy, well, not only in Italy, maybe also in France, or in Germany, I don't remember I had any friend who was so humble to do that. Or when the recession hit Ireland, I was stunned. I was so shocked in a positive way to see people that they lost everything. They were 40, 50 years old, and they decided to go to college. In a very humble way, they restarted to study where the opportunities that there were. Of course, they understood that the future was in IT or in languages, and they started to study languages, IT, or other courses just because they didn't want to give up.
Exactly.
And if I do comparisons with the people in other countries where they probably never had to rebuild themselves at that age, because it's not easy when you are over 40 years old to with a family.
Absolutely.
And then maybe you lost 2 houses.
Yeah.
It's not easy, but when I make comparisons with people from other countries, again, I don't remember I ever met people who could do that. So for me, was something, staying in Ireland was literally feeding me of positive things.
Yeah.
And I was thinking, okay, so now it's time also for myself to show myself if I'm able to do something I ever dreamt to. And so it was difficult, but I tried.
What was the most difficult thing that you had to overcome when you first moved to Ireland in terms of like the cultural differences?
Quite a few, because as I said, I love being surrounded by foreigners, by people from all over the world, because I'm like a sponge. I like to absorb everything from everybody. But as a sponge, at one stage, you're not able to absorb it more. So sometimes you get a bit confused by too many things that you are learning, and you have to start to push away something that maybe doesn't have anything to do with your background or the way you grew up. And to make an example is difficult, but what I usually say that is that the most difficult thing, it's not a thing, but it's, how can I say? I should say that the most difficult situation to face was relationships with men.
Dating. How did you find dating Irish guys in comparison to dating Italian guys?
An experience.
Yes, dating an Irish man is an experience.
Yes, it's a very... No, I have to say that gentlemen, it's a myth when they say that Latin men are gentlemen and blah, blah, blah. No, I have to say that Irish men are real gentlemen. The only problem I had in general is that they're very close.
Emotionally?
Emotionally, they're blocked.
Yes.
It's not only men, also women. Everybody knows it.
Yeah, it's that, a national psyche thing.
Yeah, it's, but people from the north are usually like that. One of my best friends is from Sweden, and we had a wonderful friendship, but it was really difficult to understand her, Sara. Well, you know that. But with Irish man, as I said, it was a bit difficult because you really would like to understand what they think. And it's difficult to get it. Only when they are really drunk.
Yes.
They open up themselves. But it's either too late or you don't believe them. So then you go across all those issues. Then they end up in usually a lovely friendship.
Yeah.
So you become one of the lads, you go out with them, you have fun, but you can't have a relationship based on alcohol.
No, you cannot.
I mean, yes, maybe if I was 20,
maybe. That'd be okay for a while.
But when you are almost 40 years old,
you want something deeper.
It was something deeper, and it is not a barrel of Guinness. So that was my experience. It's not that, I mean, of course, I have Irish friends who are very open with their feelings, and they're not, of course, not everybody is a heavy drinker. I'm not absolutely not saying that. I'm talking about my experience. So it's because I attract those people. What can I say? It's like just that. But with, in general, also with women, I can say that in 12 years, I have two actually Irish friends.
Yeah.
Women.
Because, same. Yeah. Oh, my friends are foreign nationals. I have loads of Irish male friends, but I have only two Irish female friends.
So it's they're a bit protective.
Yeah.
Yeah.
In a way, for sure.
Yeah, I'd like to say this is the same in my hometown. If you're a foreigner, you will have probably the same, probably two local friends.
Yeah.
And then the rest are immigrants or from somewhere else.
Yeah, there's a bonding experience that happens because you're all in the same situation. You've all come mm-hmm. from somewhere else. You're far from home. You don't have family.
Yeah.
So you kind of find friendship and family with each other in a way.
Yeah.
That makes sense. Yeah. Do you feel like you had to let go of any aspect of your culture in order to fit into Ireland?
I don't know, actually. Because it depends probably on the periods. Sometimes I felt maybe that I had to, again, we talk about drinking, for example.
Yeah.
Oh, to go out.
Join the drinking culture more than
to.
You'd like to.
It's not that I don't like it.
Yeah.
It's fun. But sometimes it's too much. So sometimes you really want to go for a chat after work, but you can't because all your friends just want to go for drinks. And so you end up at 4 a.m. at home. And he said, no, I went out only for one.
Yes. Every no. Irish person say, oh, no, we'll just go out just for one. No, it's going to turn into 20, 100%. Yes.
It's always one to me. So that's why a couple of years ago, I decided to have a more retired life.
Yes.
And started to invest my time, not in the pub, but in other projects. So now I don't have a life anymore, but I don't have a social life anymore.
So how did you transition from just doing your 9-to-5 and socializing to getting your hooks on more creative projects and things that were more artistic in nature?
If people could see my face now, they could understand because I'm wrecked. Because I spend all the lunch breaks, toilet breaks,
every spare moment.
Every spare moment, commuting, just doing that. So, and it's just a hobby. It's not something that will become my profession, but it gives me a lot.
Yeah.
It gives me a lot. And doesn't matter if it's, as you said before, when you were telling all those things about me, I was about to leave. Like, who is she talking about? Is that me? No, it's not me in person. But in the end, it's true.
Yeah.
I didn't do anything major because they're my little babies. But those things really keep you alive.
Absolutely.
And also, I would like one day to let people understand that it's never too late to dream.
Totally.
And fight to make your dreams come true, because I'm 45, you know. Yeah. But what's the difference between me that when I was a child, I was dreaming about acting, blah, 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 or doing any sort of creative stuff. I was dreaming about singing. I'm a hopeful singer. But one day I want to go to vocal coach classes just to, you know, challenge myself.
Absolutely.
In a room just with the poor teacher. That's it.
Is it the poor teacher?
Should we change job after that?
Traumatized.
Traumatized. But, you know.
Yeah.
So when you're a child, you or your friends are dreaming about, I want to become a teacher. I want to become a mother. I want to become a princess. I wanted to travel.
Yeah, why not?
And learn languages and do acting and singing and dancing, you know, all this kind of stuff. So I wanted to do circus, you know. I was different. I was a different child. What can I say, Carmen?
So really, wait.
So well, then you hit the 40 years old, and it's like, okay, everybody around me is having kids, getting married. You know what? I'm happy because so far, when I hit the 40 years old, at least I could realize most of my travel related childhood dreams. I had a list of all the places I was dreaming to go, and I
ticked all of them.
Not all of them, but nearly many of them. So super happy about that. So I was thinking, oh, I have to do something in the creative stuff, but I'm too shy. No. Then I didn't study that, and you know, people are better than me. They will laugh. They will think, what's that old woman is going to do, you know? And then it happened that I was lucky because I was surrounded by the right people.
Yeah.
People that they love doing what they're doing, and they don't do it for money. They do it just because
for the joy.
It makes them feel good. Yeah.
Yeah. That will get you through a lot of crap in life when you have a few things that just gives you a sense of joy and purpose, like, this is really awesome, I'm glad I'm a part of it.
Yeah, true. And also, for example, I'm happy about my daily job because I do something I like, and my company they're flexible, they're happy to see employees creative, and that they use their free time to do something good for themselves.
Yeah.
So I'm happy because at least I can go to work, I do my job 100%, and then I can use my spare time to do my little projects, my other things. But at least, as you said, when you have something that is very fulfilling for you outside work,
yeah,
then you go to work in a better mood, and hopefully also you have a small impact on your colleagues when you're not in a good mood.
Exactly.
Because everybody has up and downs, but if you have a healthy life outside work, then when you go back to the 9-to-5,
yeah,
and you put the 9-to-5 mask.
But yeah, you're rejuvenated. Like, you spend the majority of your weekly hours in your job, and if you're in a terrible mood, that kind of gets contagious and it,
yes,
goes around and everybody's feeling down. It's like such a bummer to be there. But when you've experienced something really positive and fulfilling on the weekend or in the evenings, you can bring that energy back to work, and it just lifts your spirit and it lifts the spirits of those around,
yeah,
you.
Yeah.
It's very infectious human mood and human states of mind. It's very interesting thing.
Mm-hmm.
What's the best life or business advice you've ever gotten?
I will never forget it. A friend of mine, Chris, he went back to the States now. He's one of the most energetic, highly contagiously smiley person I've ever seen in my life. Okay. So I remember I was a bit down. And it was before my 40th birthday. And the funny part is that everybody was telling me, I know what it means. I know what it means. And I was like, no, you don't know what it means, because I'm not sad or depressed because I'm getting 40. I'm actually very excited that I'm getting 40 because I got there. Because with the crazy life I had, I always thought, I'm not sure that we get to
maybe
the 40. So I'm very excited about that. But it was just one of those periods of your life that it was when I was trapped in that, let's go to the pub, let's drink, let's go to the pub, blah, blah, blah. I didn't have any interest because most of my friends left Ireland, the real friends. And the other ones were amazing people, but was just nobody was doing something that was stimulating me. And Chris said, you know what, just always find something to look forward to. It's a basic, silly, stupid advice, but it got stuck in my head.
Yeah.
Because it's not that now you have to think, oh no, I'm broke, I cannot go on holidays this year, I cannot go to Philippines, blah, blah. Okay, find something else tiny that you look forward to go tomorrow. So tomorrow go to Wicklow, you know?
Yeah.
So something to look forward to, something that when you wake up in the morning and you think, oh damn, today I have to do this and I'm happy to do that. Or before going to sleep, you know, just to, even to go and eat an ice cream with somebody you haven't seen in a while. You just always find something to look forward to. And, you know, when you think, yeah, Chris, yeah. And then it became my mantra.
That's so good.
Yeah. It works.
So how do you deal with failure or setbacks when things are not going your way? You pout now, just joking.
Well, one of my favorite motto, I think it is, do you say motto in English?
Motto, yeah.
Motto. It's Beckett's, ever tried, ever failed. Try again, fail again, fail better.
Yeah.
So that's me. since I was born. I'm clumsy, I fail a lot. I fail in so many fields that you can't imagine. But in the end, if you don't try, you don't fail. Yeah. If you don't fail, you know, it's a, the more you try, the more you have the chances to success.
Exactly.
Or to fail, but at least you understand
where you went wrong,
exactly,
how to recalibrate to get
exactly
yourself back on track.
Or maybe you're not good at doing that thing, so change. That's it. But again, it's a very long path.
It
it's
is
not, as I said, if I think about myself when I was a teenager, or like even late teenager in the small town, I can't recognize myself, because at that stage, yes, fail. Oh no, I failed.
Pure panic.
No, I have to be perfect. I cannot fail, you know, because I have to be at the level that everybody expects me to be. Didn't matter if it was something that I really wanted, but the rest of the people wanted Silvana to be like that. So, you know, you stuck it in for many years. And then after a long process, you get to this point of, you know what? Yes, you're right. I'm not good at doing that. So why should I?
What flipped the switch for you from following along with other people's expectations to where you broke away? Like, you know what? I'm actually going to try to do something that's meaningful to me rather than meaningful to you. When was that split for you?
I was around 25. I don't know exactly what happened. Or maybe I know, but I can't say that.
Where were you living at the time?
In my small town. Well, I was living in Genoa, I think. Or anyway, there. It was university years. And so I was keep finding excuses not to follow my dreams. And it was an excuse after the other, And then something happened. And I opened my eyes and I'm like, who is this person there? Oh, I don't know her. She doesn't belong to me. So I started to kick the ass of that whiny girl, and I started to very slowly change.
Go for what you wanted.
Yeah, it was difficult. It took me 20 years.
Hey, better late than never. If you hadn't done it, what would you be doing? Still living back
home?
Living a life that you were not content with?
Mm-hmm.
You know, we only have one life, you gotta go for it. So talk to me about Radio Dublino. How did you get involved with that? And what exactly is your radio show about?
Radio Dublino is a radio station mainly for Italians, or for Italian speakers, or for anybody who loves the Italian culture and can understand a little bit of Italian because it's in Italian. It's a community radio station, and it's hosted by Near FM, which is an amazing radio station because there are so many different programs, and it's a community radio station. So it's they do lots of good things also for the society. It's not commercial at all. I got involved with them last year, I think, 2019. I was so happy because it was one of my childhood dreams.
Really?
Yes.
Did you listen to this radio station while you were in Italy?
No, because this radio station they created the radio station in Dublin.
So it was your childhood, a dream to be in radio.
In a radio,
stuff.
Yes, not in a radio, Since I was very little, because my brother started to work for a radio when I was probably 3 years old, and then he said to do DJing and so on. So for me, it was like, oh yeah, the radio station, wow. But I never had the chance.
So how did you get the chance?
The chance, it happened because they put an announcement. They were looking for some people to suggest a new segment. And I was waiting like, oh my God, no, how can I do that? Yes, I'm going to do it. So I wrote my suggestion, my proposal for the segment. They liked it. So I started with this segment last year.
What was your segment?
The title was No Tengo Dinero. It means I'm flat broke. I don't have money, no tengo dinero.
Yes,
it was a very famous song in the 80s from an Italian crazy, silly duo, No Tengo Dinero, the song. And basically it was, I had half an hour and I was inviting Italian creatives who live in Ireland and who do any job, who struggle a lot just to keep doing the creative stuff and to pursue their dreams. So I invited a film editor that in the spare time works for Oxfam, and a photographer who works as customer service, and a circus artist who is an IT programmer.
That's brilliant.
She's amazing. And so it was basically a way to do networking for them, for people who would like to be like them and they are not brave enough. So they were also giving advice about where to go, where to study, what to study, or which camera invest, blah, blah, blah. So that was the segment. And then this year, they were looking for some more volunteers to have the actual, to run the program. So I said, okay, I will try. No panic.
Why not?
It's a bit difficult though. And so we don't have a theme. I mean, it's not that it's my program, it's our program.
Yeah.
So we do a rotation and it's usually you have one hour per month or every 2 months. It's not every week it's not regular because we are many volunteers, but in that hour you really can, you're free
to do whatever you like.
To do whatever you want.
So that's really exciting.
I'm looking forward to my next program. It will be in March.
Okay.
Yeah.
So that's excellent. So do you hear this on FM? Is it available online?
Online, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
What's it called?
Radio Dublino.
Radio Dublino. So if I just Google that, it'll come up?
Yeah, because if you like the page on Facebook, then you also have all the updates about the programs and you also have the podcast.
Excellent.
Yeah, because we go live and we record a podcast so you can have it in the future.
Exactly. Just in case somebody's busy doing something they can't listen to that hour and they really want to.
Yeah.
So let's talk about short films and other projects that you are working on. How did you get involved with filmmaking? Did you know anything about film, about equipment, about...
Nada, zero.
Brilliant, I love it. How did that come about?
Zero. So I only did some... I attended some acting classes in 2001, but it was for theater.
Okay.
So I did 1 year stage acting. We did the show, and after the show I said, bye, no more in my life, because I suffer from stage fright.
No way!
Yes. I don't remember anything about the performance. I was...
You blinded?
Like, no, it went well.
Okay.
Oh, no, thanks God. It went amazing. Everybody was like, oh, you were amazing. I don't have a clue about what happened on stage because it was a shock for me. So anyway, I think it was also the other Silvana, you know, that was
the young one that you're booting out,
the one
of your psyche. You're transitioning still.
Exactly. But anyway, but still now I know my limits for stage acting. You really need an engagement that is very demanding for your, not only for your mind, it's also for your body, for everything, because you need loads of time, and your head has to be very clear to do stage acting, at least for me.
Filmmaking.
Filmmaking, when I was a child, I remember the way I used to go behind the TV because I wanted to understand how those people could get in.
That's adorable.
I was probably 4 or 5 years old.
Yes.
Dad, but how those people get in the TV? And my dad, hey. Then I went to the high school and I understood that the Catholic tube and all. But still, no, it's not a Catholic cube. There must be something different or something. So since I'm not from Milan, I'm not from Rome, so I'm very far from those beautiful studios, I never had the chance to see a studio or to see how they film films. And a few years ago, I don't even remember how everything ended up, how everything started. Somebody told me about film extras, blah, blah, blah. Why don't you join this film extras? Okay. And then I ended up in a music video.
Oh, brilliant. What was the music video?
I'm ashamed of that.
Now I want to know.
It was really good, actually. It was really good. It was the Riptide Movement.
Okay.
And so was It All Works Out. It was amazing because that was a real, real experience. It was the first time in my life I was on set, so I didn't have a clue about what I had to do. Absolutely no idea. It's your cue, huh? What?
What's a cue?
Nurse, go!
Totally
I was
great.
Feeling like, what the hell am I doing here? But anyway, I'm here, so I have to do it.
But at least you get to see behind the scenes.
It was amazing. It was so fascinating to see the amount of work that there is behind a simple music video. So it was amazing. And there were two great actors. It was Amy Uberman and Paul Ronan. And they were so inspiring because they were so human and they were working so hard that they were on set 2 days in a row for 12 hours, no complaints whatsoever. They were just doing their job, being friendly with everybody. So for me it was an amazing experience. And I was thinking, oh wow, that would be great to find a way to do it more often. But it didn't happen. Also because I was busy with work. I was so busy with work. And with some ex, probably. Some of those wrong choices, you know.
Yes.
But then a friend of mine brought me in a group of filmmakers called the Dublin Filmmakers. Yeah, I don't remember.
Because there are two collectives.
No, it's the other one, Dublin Filmmakers, because one is with Robert O'Meara and one is with Caja Alfini.
Okay.
So it's two groups. I got into the one with Caja. And then I also got to do something, ended up doing something also with the group of Robert O'Meara.
Yes.
In a few years later, they're both very nice groups, but I started with the Cajal. And I remember when you sit there and they ask you, so what are your skills? And one girl, I'm an actress. They go, I'm an actress, I'm an actor, I'm a director, I'm a writer. I said, I have no idea.
I'm just
not
here.
Joking. I said, I can cook. So I can help you with the catering if you want. But I didn't want to say that I wanted to be an actress.
Yeah.
I didn't say that I did 1 year acting in 2001 because I was feeling like, oh man, they are actors.
Right.
I'm not a professional. So I was there in my corner, like, what the hell am I doing here, blah, blah, blah. And then they dragged me in a short, and it was a very interesting experience. So I was meant to do only catering and cooking for everybody, but then the lovely Cahal wrote also a little part, so I did my acting.
Ah, very good.
Two lines.
That's how you start.
But it was, again, was really interesting because I could see all the behind the scenes. So the first experience was a music video that was like, wow, like a Universal music video. Imagine the camera they had, all the gear, the crane, special effects. It was something huge. And then I also had the chance to see how people with zero budget, no budget whatsoever, can do something great.
Yeah.
Just with a small camera and just putting all the efforts.
Props together from secondhand shops.
Yeah, you swap skills and you learn from what you do. I learn from you, you learn from me, and so on. So basically, I got introduced into that. In that way, and then I stopped because I wasn't feeling self-confident enough, and I wanted to act in classes. So then I went to a couple of different acting classes just for myself.
Yeah.
Difficult, really difficult, but really interesting. And then I went back to the group and I was feeling a bit more confident and I said, okay, when Cahal asked, so we need, we're doing a challenge, write what you wanted to, no, tell me what you wanted to do. And I finally stood up and I said, I want to act. And with a voice like this, if possible.
But at least you ask, because if you don't ask,
you don't get. Gave me 6 pages in English of monologue.
That's brilliant.
Yeah.
Were you nervous? Were you excited? Were you everything?
I was about to die. Also because he's one of those writers, directors, who doesn't allow any change at all.
Okay. No improv.
Not at all.
Memorize, deliver.
Yes. So that was pretty challenging, but interesting. And then basically everything went like that because with this group of people, we started to take part to different challenges, to something amazing that is called the Kino. Okay. Have you ever heard about Kino? Kino Cabaret.
Okay.
So there is one called Kino D, and then there is another one called Kino Spry, I don't know. So there are two in Dublin. So now, for example, on the 29th of February, and the 1st of March, there will be Kino D. So basically, if you are a actor, director, writer, prop maker, whatever could be used in a short film, you go online and look for Kino D, and you can join this movement. And you have, it's usually, it can be 2 days, 3 days, 1 week, 2 weeks to make films.
Wow.
Yes.
2 days, that's intense.
Yes, but you can't imagine how many things you can do in 2 weeks, in 2 days, including editing and everything. And you need to have the final product
ready to go.
Ready to go.
It's like the hackathon weekends that they have.
Yes.
Yeah. It's the same principle of what you're using technology to build an app, and you just hyper-focus one task, get it done.
Yes, exactly. Exactly like that. But for short films.
Yeah.
So I got involved with these projects, and then you know what happens. You know people, you meet people, you start to be involved in other projects.
Yeah, and one thing leads to another.
Yeah, and that's it. But again, I am just a little crumble in a huge amount of creatives that there are in Ireland. It's so beautiful to see people, especially young people, that they do so many beautiful products. When you talk about short films,
yeah.
Features is something different because it's extremely difficult to get a good feature. Like, for example, Chiara Viale, she's Italian.
Yes.
She made a feature that
I interviewed her.
Like, and she did it without budget. She did it only with passion, with talent, because she's really talented as a writer and director. It's amazing, but it's very rare to get such a good product on the market as a feature when you don't have budget. With short films, I saw many interesting products without budget. Depends on the team that you can get.
For sure, you do what you can. I have one final question for you. What do you know now that you wish you knew when you first moved to Ireland?
That's a very easy question.
Go for it.
I talk, now I stand up and I talk for all the people of Ireland and not only of Ireland. If I knew that the rent was going to be so expensive now, if I knew only that, I would have bought anything, even a cave,
a shed, whatever.
Yeah, the thing where they keep the horses,
stable.
Anything in 2008, 2009, because it's really, this really put me off.
Yeah, it's a bummer. It's really obscene, the prices of housing here. But yeah.
If I knew that.
If I knew that, I would have as well. Because I came here in 2006, before the crash.
2006? Yeah. Wow. For me, 2008. So I remember in 2009, I used to live in Slane, County Meath.
Yeah.
Because the first company the luxury goods is the third company change. So the first company I used to work for was based in County Meath. So I remember that everybody was telling me, ask the landlord to give you a reduction on the rent. And they did it. They made me discount. Because people were just...
There's so much abundance back then.
Yeah. Imagine Islaine, that was a village. It would have done anything to keep me there. And I remember that I used to pay, I think it was 650 euro for a townhouse.
Yeah.
So you go upstairs, you have a huge living room.
Kitchen.
One double bedroom. No, two double bedrooms.
I had the same situation in Roscommon, Creevabag. We had a little estate. It was like that. It was, I think, 550 a month. It was a two-bedroom house, ground floor.
Yeah.
You can't find a box room for 550 euros now in Dublin.
Yeah. No, it's insane. So, yes, if I knew that...
you would have been minted started here. So Vanna, thank you so much for taking the time to come on the podcast today and share a little bit about your journey and your travels and your experiences. It's been absolutely lovely. Where can people find you and your creative work?
I don't have a professional page because I'm too shy to do that.
Oh, but you should.
I'm not joking. I don't even have a headshot. I have to work on it because I really need to have a headshot. But if now I'm using my personal Facebook,
Instagram,
and Twitter. I use them also for creative stuff because I don't have a professional page, so I'm using my personal ones.
I'll put it on the show notes anyway, so if anybody wants to get in touch with
you,
the radio program, they can do that. And thank you everyone for listening, and don't forget to subscribe to the podcast, leave us a review on Apple Podcasts or wherever you're listening, and like our Facebook page and share with your friends your favorite episodes. Until the next journey, ciao.